Before we get started on continuing on in this series, I want to just pause here and just say I think it's important for us as a church to just pray. Last week we did a message. We sort of broke from our series, The End, and I talked about politics. If you missed that, I'd encourage you to go back and watch that, because we as a church, as followers of Jesus, want to make sure that we get our arms around it. And the Bible does speak to that. But I think it's important after the election that we bow and ask God for prayer, that he uses us as the church to bring healing and to bring that which is divided together, because I think that's what he wants to do. I think he wants to use us as the church. Would you agree, church? I think that's what he wants to do. Would you bow with me? Even if you're online, bow with me. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we live in this amazing, amazing land. We thank you for the freedoms that we have. And Lord, as we talked last week, some of us are disappointed. Some of us are grateful. But Lord, as the church, we want to respond with the right attitude. So I pray, God, that you would help us, that we might be, in fact, peacemakers in our workplaces. As conversations will come up this week and as conversations will come up with family and friends in our neighborhoods, I pray that you would help us to be very careful about what we say. Father, we want to honor the fact that you bring set kings up and you bring kings down, your word tells us. And you ask us to pray. And so, Father, we do pray for our leaders. We pray, Lord, in this transition that you would be with President Trump. We pray, Lord, that you would be with President Biden as he steps in. And Lord, we ask that we as the church, that our lives and the values that we care about, that we would live them in our streets and in our sidewalks and in our homes and in our buildings and the places of work that we go to every single week. We thank you, Father, that you call us in the church to something that's higher, the kingdom of God. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Be with us today, we pray, as we approach the end of the year and as we approach a new year. Father, there's lots of questions, but we thank you, Father, that you are in control. We thank you that we can trust you and that our hope is found in you. And so we say this with confidence and with gratitude. In Jesus' name, and loudly the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Grab your cell phones, if you would. I almost said telephone. Grab your cell phone real quick with me, if you will, because we want you to make sure that you download the bulletin. I know that we've been talking about this for months and months, actually, and because we're in this COVID season and we have a touchless experience in all of our campuses or even online, if you will, all you need to do is take your camera and point it right here at that QR code. Now, if you've been to a restaurant at all, anywhere, you know that they're using QR codes as well. Am I right? If you don't know what a QR code is, ask anybody that's 13 years of age, and they'll tell you exactly what it is and actually how to use it. So take your camera and just point it right there, and it should pop up at the top where you can then just click a button, and it'll take you right to our online bulletin. And that way you have all the information, whether you have kids or grandkids or whether you're looking for a small group or if you want to put a prayer request out there, this is the place to do it. If you don't have our app, we'd really encourage you to download our app, because that's that will help you in making sure that we keep informed, because as we approach the holidays, Christmas and Thanksgiving, there's lots of things that you're going to want to know about. And so this is a great way to do that. Just click this QR code. Now, many of you in our campuses, they are right in front of you in your seats. And so you can just grab that and take it with you if you want, so that we can make sure that you get all the information. I want to continue in my series. Like I said, we took a break last week, but I want to continue in this series called The End, where we're talking about the end of time. And we started out a couple of weeks ago and we asked the question, are we living in the end times? Are all the things that we're seeing here, COVID or maybe world events or things that we're seeing in our nation, cities, are we living in the end of times? And we answered that question a couple of weeks ago and we said, yes, actually we are. We're one day closer, aren't we, to the end of times. And we don't know exactly when that is, because Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. But we said this, we said, let's be ready. Let's make sure we're prepared. Let's make sure that we think through the things that are happening in our lives. And then we asked the question, why even talk about the end? I mean, isn't there a lot of subject matters to talk about? I mean, couldn't we talk about relationships and or maybe family dynamics or parenting or grandparenting? And why even talk about the end? And we said, well, here's why, because obedience matters. Your obedience and my obedience today impacts the end. It impacts life after this life. The Bible clearly tells us that we will be rewarded for our obedience today. And so there's a great motivator for us as we live out our lives. And then we said that hell is real. We talked about that. And in fact, on this weekend, I mentioned last week that 60 individuals, almost 70 actually, individuals said yes to Jesus Christ. And it's great to know that God is at work in our church family, that people are coming who are curious. And so if you're here today in any one of our campuses or online and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, help me out here, church. We're so grateful you're here. We're honored that you would find your way here because we think that you're smart enough to think this through, and we want to help you in the journey. We were all there. I was there at one time in my life, and so thank you. Thank you for being here. Today, I want to talk to you about hope and heaven because you can't talk about heaven without talking about hope. See, in fact, hope is found by talking about heaven. What I hope to do today is to encourage you. What I hope to do today is to help you to lift your eyes above what you're dealing with right now. What I hope to do is encourage you by the subject matter of heaven so that you can think through your life now and think about the life that we will have with Jesus forever. Now, I understand and I recognize that if you're 20 years of age, it's probably not a subject matter that you care a lot about if you're compared to if you're 80 years of age, because you're probably already thinking about the last quarter of your life, right? You're kind of in that last quarter, perhaps, of your life. But I want to tell you that all of us, doesn't matter what your age, if you think about heaven and we get sort of a glimpse of what heaven is, and our hearts are encouraged by what heaven will be like for us, I have a feeling that's going to give you hope today. In fact, I know that because that's what we find in the scripture. So I want to answer this question today. What is heaven like? And does the Bible give us anything that we can talk about with regard to understanding that? Are there any details in the scriptures that will help us in understanding what heaven is like? As it turns out, there is. And we'll look at that with me today. The problem is this, though. In talking about heaven, we don't talk much about heaven. We don't normally have that conversation. My guess is that if you've got little kids, you probably haven't talked about heaven, unless there's an odd question that comes up, you know, about death or something like that. We don't talk much about heaven. And I think there's a couple of reasons for that. And so let's think this through a little bit, because some of you might be thinking, well, I don't think I really even need to talk about heaven. Well, I hope you will be encouraged and your heads will be lifted here. But why don't we talk much about heaven? A couple of reasons. Number one, I think it's because we get so ingrained in what we're doing now. We're so overwhelmed with life now that we can't seem to even lift our head above the problems or the relational difficulties or the financial struggles that we might be having. And so we're so consumed with the present, or we're so hounded by the past that we can't even look beyond that. And so I hope today to encourage you. That's one reason. Second reason is that we have it pretty good in the United States of America. Am I right, church? I mean, if you were to travel around the world, and I have traveled many places around the world, let me tell you, we don't have persecution like other countries have persecution, particularly if they're followers of Jesus. I lived in Indonesia. Many of you know I was grown up, I was raised in Indonesia, and I saw people in Indonesia who gave their lives to Jesus, and when they did, their families would walk them to the edge of the village or city and just say goodbye and never see them again. And then the families would go back, not every time, but the families would go back and they would actually have a funeral. They would hold a funeral for that individual because that person was dead to them. There's lots of persecution around the world. We don't have that much here. You may have somebody that makes a joke about your faith or criticizes you about faith, but come on, church, that's not persecution, am I right? And so we don't have that. And so perhaps it's because we have it so good in America. Let's talk about poverty for a minute. There are people in our nation that live under the poverty level, but I gotta tell you that even the poverty level that we set here in the US is a whole lot higher than most of the world. When you think of poverty in the world, I'll show you poverty. Let me bring you to Bangkok, where people are living in cardboard boxes, for miles of cardboard boxes, and the garbage and the stench is unbelievable if you ever were able to go there. I'm not minimizing poverty of those that are struggling in our country. I'm just saying we have it pretty good. And so oftentimes we don't talk about heaven. Would it surprise you if I told you, though, that in the first century, they talked a lot about heaven? And part of it was because there was persecution. Part of it was because there was all kinds of things that were happening in their lives. And to be a follower of Jesus, there was a lot more at stake in the first century. And so when we read the New Testament, for that matter, when we read the whole Bible, there is a lot that was said about heaven in the first century as the believers were there. Did you know that Jesus talked about heaven? He mentions heaven 77 times in the Gospels. So Jesus talks a lot about it. Did you know that the Bible begins and ends with heaven? You can start in Genesis and you can go to Revelation and it begins and ends with heaven. Did you know that 54 out of the 66 books of the Bible, or letters, however you want to call them, mention heaven? Though there's a lot that's in the Bible about heaven. And so what I want to do with you today is to turn to a couple passages, and I want to answer the question, what is heaven like? And I'm going to give you five things that you can jot down that I hope will encourage you, and I hope will give you hope for the future that will play out in your life today. Because our hope for the future, our hope in heaven, will give us hope today on earth. That's really interesting. Here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you got a Bible or a device and you want to power them up. And why don't you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to skim read part of this, but we'll start in verse 7, and then we'll read towards the end of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Before I read it, though, I want to give you an example of what heaven is like. When we talk about heaven, it's so difficult because none of us can really describe it, because the Bible doesn't give us specific details. It gives us general things that we'll look at today. So I thought to myself, how can I illustrate the idea of looking beyond? How can I illustrate the fact that as we look at our own lives today, that heaven is such a great subject matter because it causes us to look way, way, way beyond where we are today? This is my best shot, so I'll give it to you. This is my best shot. I brought with me today two friends of mine. Let me introduce you to Finn and Nemo. Here they are, right here. Two of my friends, and they're swimming around, and they think they are in hog heaven. I mean, they're fed, right? The water's clean for them, and they just swim around, and they just look, and just swim around. And I haven't, you know, seen them overnight, so I don't know if they actually sleep or not, but somebody who knows more than I would probably be able to tell us. But when I look at this right here, would you agree with me that if I took this little fish bowl and I brought it to the aquarium down, you know, in Newport, Kentucky, it would be kind of cruel for these little fish, right? I mean, the big, huge aquarium with all kinds of things there, and all they have is this little bowl right here, right? Or if I was to take them down to the coral reef, the big coral reef, right, where you see beautiful color fish, and the coral is absolutely amazing, and compared to this, it looks pretty bad, doesn't it? Here's the image that I want you to get today as we think about heaven. I want you to look beyond the bowl. As a matter of fact, if you remember just that statement alone, I think it'll help you to remember the fact that heaven is such a great conversation for us, because it helps you and it helps me to look beyond the bowl. Wouldn't you agree that there's so much more beyond this bowl, right? There's so much that these fish could experience if they were being in the oceans of this world. There's so much more that, you know, these little fish, they would have no idea. They don't know anything different. I mean, they're just swimming around like friends, and they hang out together. Sometimes they, you know, kind of fight with each other a little bit. But these two fish, they don't have any idea. What you and I can see is that there's so much beyond the bowl. And I hope today to be able to encourage you five things that we're going to learn about what heaven is like in order that you and I can look beyond our bowl. Because so often our bowl looks so small and so tiny, and there's so much out there, that when we think of heaven, it is so expansive and so amazing. Here's what Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read it. It says this, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay." Paul is using an illustration of a clay jar that's fragile, that if you were to drop it on the floor, it would smash into a million pieces. And he says, we have this treasure. Now, if you read verses 1-6, Paul says this treasure is the fact that you and I can have a relationship with God, that there's a relationship that's broken between us and God. It's your fault. It's my fault, by the way. But God did something in order that we might be able to bridge that relationship. where he sent his one and only son, which we're going to celebrate in just a month, basically, Christmas, and his son died on a cross and paid the penalty for the wrong in your life and in my life. That way we can have a relationship with God. And once you have a relationship with God, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is deposited inside of you. The Spirit of God gives you power to do things you can't do on your own, gives you wisdom to understand things that you can't understand on your own, gives you direction when you're confused, like, should I go here? Should I do this? Should I take that job? Should I do this? Should I marry him? Should I marry her? You know, it gives all this stuff. And so he says, we have this treasure in these jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belonging to God belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. You may have problems, but because of God in you, you're not crushed. Perplexed, confused, but we're not driven to despair. We don't have to walk around life hopeless. Part of the hope that we find here at Fairhaven Church is making sure that we look beyond the bowl, because that hope can play into our lives today. Perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. Persecuted, not forsaken. You may have people that will say things about your faith to you, but you're not being driven out of town. You're not being driven to death. Persecuted, not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you as well. So yeah, I mean, each day we get older and older, we're closer to death, but death is only a moment. We have life. That's what it says right here. Drop down to verse 14. Knowing that he, that's God, who has raised the Lord Jesus, will raise us also with Jesus and bring us into his presence. That's heaven. So, verse 16, we do not lose heart. We don't have to be overwhelmed. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, beyond even what you can think, beyond your little bowl and my little bowl. So what is heaven like? Let me give you five things if you want to jot these down that might help us to understand some important things and to answer a few questions about it. Number one, heaven is a place of relationships and community. It's a place where we're going to have relationships with each other. And so we better start now, right? Look around wherever you're at, and even online, you can kind of look around to the people that you know. But right here at Centerville and Springboro and Northmont and Classics, look around. These are the people that you're going to see later, right? These are the people that we're going to spend eternity with. And so there's going to be relationship and there's going to be community. And Revelation chapter 7, it says this, "Behold, a great multitude that no one can count the number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne." I love this picture. I've never been to Tibet, but I'm looking forward to meeting a Tibetan. Because when you look at their culture, for some reason, there's some things about their culture that draws me in. I love the New Zealand accent. Anybody know the New Zealand accent? I love the New Zealand accent. On my car, there's this little navigation system, and I've set it to, I think it's either New Zealand or Australian. I'm not really sure which one it is, but it's one of those two. And this lady comes on to give me instructions, and it's so cool. I mean, I can't understand her half the time, but it's cool, you know? And I love the New Zealand accent. I'm looking forward to meeting some New Zealanders because I've never been there. I'm looking forward to meeting some people back in Congo because I've been in Congo. It's, according to the New York Times, it's the worst country, worst city to go to, Brazzaville. I've been there, and I agree. It's one of the worst cities in the world to go to, and yet I made some friends there. I'm looking forward to seeing them again. I've never been to Peru. Maybe you've been to Peru, but there's a lot of things about the Peruvian. I love the Peruvian soccer, and so I'm looking forward to meeting a couple of the Peruvian soccer players when we get to heaven. There's going to be lots of relationships. See, heaven is a place of relationships and community. The question, though, that I get asked all the time is, will I recognize anyone? Will we recognize each other? The answer is yes. Let me tell you why. Because if you were to turn to Luke chapter 23, you would see that Jesus was on the cross, and one of the thief, they had a conversation, and he said to the thief, "Today you will be with me." Help me out here, church, if you know it. "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Jesus will recognize him, obviously, and he will recognize Jesus. You could turn to Matthew chapter 17, where you see a story of Peter, James, and John, and they're praying with Jesus, and on the Mount of Transfiguration, we call it, all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah appears while they're praying. Now, the best I can tell, Moses and or Elijah, they do not have any Facebook pages and or social media of any kind. And yet, Peter, James, and John recognized him immediately. Oh, that's Moses, and that's Elijah. Even though they were 1,200 years before these disciples that were there. You can go all through Scripture and see all kinds of examples of the fact that we will recognize people in heaven. You know, as we go through this COVID season, what's really interesting to me is it's sad. You probably know someone who has lost a family member or a friend or a spouse or a grandparent because of all that's going on with COVID and the illnesses that people are experiencing. I got good news for you. You see, when you have a glimpse of heaven and you look beyond the bowl, losing someone is just a little bit more bearable because you're going to have a reunion with them. It's kind of like when you see on the TV a serviceman or a servicewoman coming back from a tour of duty. Ever see this on the news? Where they'll play it, and it's such a touching story where you'll see this person coming to the school or meeting them at the airport, and they get off the plane and they come in there with their uniform, right? Because they're veterans and they serve for us. And they get off and they come off the plane and the family rushes to them and jumps up, and the little girl jumps up into the arms and hugs her daddy, and it's so fun, right, to see those kinds of things. That's the image that I have in my mind. It's gonna be a great reunion with all kinds of people. See, when I think of heaven and relationships, some of you are like, "Well, you know, I've had relationship hardships in my life." There may be relational hardships with your parents, or you may have very few friends. You feel very alone. You feel like you can't trust people, or you feel like people don't trust you, or you don't have a sense of safety or closeness with anybody else. I got great news for you. That's not what heaven's going to be like. Heaven's going to be like an amazing place of relationships, an amazing place of community, where people are going to notice you. Even if you don't think they notice you now, they will someday. Because in heaven, it's all about relationships and community that's there. Now, the question that I get all the time is about animals, right? When it comes to community, a lot of us would agree that our animals become part of our family, right? If you've got a pet, you know what I'm talking about. And so just by raised hand in all of our campuses, how many of you are hoping that there will be dogs in heaven? Can I just see your hand? Just raise them up high in all of our campuses. And I'm looking around here. There's a lot of you that hope your dog is going to be with you in heaven. Okay, how many of you think there's going to be cats in heaven? Can I just see your hands? Just raise them up high, because I got bad news for you. There's no cats. Actually, I don't know that. It's a big question. I think there's going to be animals in heaven. I don't think that our pets today will be in heaven because they don't have souls. But I think in the new heaven and the new earth, I think there's going to be animals because they bring so much joy and love in our lives. But if you want, I encourage you to read a book. The author's name is Randy Alcorn. You can just write that down if you want, Randy Alcorn. He writes a book called Heaven. It's about that thick. The chapter on animals is worth the whole book. Just read it. He gives some really interesting thoughts through Scripture about animals as we're thinking about relationships, as we're thinking about the things that we'll see in heaven. Number two, if you're jotting this down, heaven is a place of learning and discovery. And some of you are like, whoa. I thought that when we got to heaven, we'd be perfected. Well, we are. We're perfected spiritually. But there's still an opportunity for us to learn. There's still an opportunity for us to discover. That learning and discovery is something that we'll see. In fact, the Bible tells us that. Paul, talking to the Ephesian church, he says, "Christ raised up us with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages," heaven, "he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." If you want to write down Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, you may want to circle the word show. The word show there means that it is a progressive learning that takes place. That God is going to show us things progressively throughout eternity that you and I can learn and discover. And so it's important for us to remember that heaven is a place of learning and discovery. In the Bible, in the New Testament, there are two Greek words for know. One Greek word talks about how you can know things now. The second Greek word, which is very similar, just has a prefix to it, it talks about how you can learn things in the future, you can learn things in eternity. It's progressive that it'll happen. I like that. I mean, we'll be perfected spiritually, right? There's no sin in our lives. There's none of that there. But it is a place where there's going to be, you know, learning and discovery. If you're a curious person, I don't know about you, but this hopefully will help you to lift your head up a little bit. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to be so curious to ask questions. I want to spend a day with Jonah. And I want to say, what was that like? Did it smell? What was it like being thrown up onto the shore? I mean, that had to have been like, you know, people were around like, whoa, where have you been, right? I want to spend a day with Samson, and I want to find out how strong he really is. Because, you know, when I was in high school, I never lost an arm wrestle, never. Not because I was strong, but because I got such wide wrist. Because if you know anything about arm wrestling, you have to break the person's wrist in order to win. And my wrist is so thick, it's because my bones are so big, it's really hard to break my wrist. And so I did not lose an arm wrestling match in high school. And so if you want to arm wrestle me, bring it on. I want to check Samson and see how strong he really is. I want to ask questions like, why was mosquitoes even necessary? Right? Now, my biologist friend has already answered that because he was in one of the other services and sent me a text message and told me the whole biological reason. I still would ask, why are there mosquitoes? Right? I want to ask questions like, raccoons. They do nothing but just like make a mess. They made a mess in our attic. I told you that story a long time ago. There's lots of questions. I want to ask the question, when I was 21 years of age, I almost made the most life-altering decision in my life. I still remember the moment. I was in a cul-de-sac standing there, and I was about ready to do something that would literally change my life forever. Thank God I didn't do it, and that's why I'm standing here today. And as I was there, I cried out to God. I was a follower of Jesus. I was just in a state where I was very confused. I don't know if you can relate to that or not. I was really confused. I was really struggling in my life. And in that moment, I cried out and said, God, if you're real, I need you right now. And to this day, I still feel like something that was around me. It wasn't weird, it wasn't strange, it wasn't some kind of, you know, but I felt the presence of God around me and I could feel, in fact, I began shaking, my hands began shaking, and I knew it was God. And I want to ask him, like, can I meet those angels? Because they helped me in not making a decision that would have altered the course of my life. I've got lots of questions that I want to ask. Like, why did you allow the devil to be around so long? Just, it would have been a lot simpler if you just gotten rid of him earlier. Am I right, church? Right? I mean, there's lots of questions. There's lots of learning that's going to go on in our life. I can imagine having a leadership class with Moses. I'm going to be in the front row. I can imagine a class on courage from Joshua and Martin Luther King Jr. Like, I want to learn from them about courage in life, right? I can imagine a class by Esther, The Art of Persuasion. I want to go to that class and listen. There's lots of learning and discovery that I think we're going to be experiencing in heaven. Number three, if you're jotting this down, heaven is a place of fascinating opportunities to explore. Fascinating opportunities to explore. You know, there's a verse that if I showed you, which I'm going to do in a second, that if I showed it to you, you're going to be like, oh yeah, I've heard that 1,000 times. So let me try it on you. It's in John chapter 14. It says, in my Father's house are many rooms, period. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Jesus is talking to his disciples, a very private conversation with them, and he says, I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a house with many rooms. Now, if you look at the original language, many means spectacular, and then rooms means it's going to be so big you can't even get your head around it. It's like looking at a fishbowl and saying, there's a lot beyond that fishbowl. I mean, beyond the bowl, there's so much more. Kind of brings a new meaning to the bucket list. Because you see, people who have a bucket list who say, I got to get this done before I die, are people that have no idea of what the next life will be like. You can create a bucket list, but don't worry about it, because you'll have plenty of time to get it done. Because I think there's going to be all kinds of opportunities for us to explore the beauty of God's creation, right? Let me try a couple things on you. How many of you have been to the Grand Canyon? I haven't been yet. I hear it's amazing. How many of you have been to Niagara Falls and all of our campuses? Yeah, I haven't been there yet either. I hear it's absolutely amazing. How many of you have been to Mount Everest, or at least near Mount Everest? One person I see here at the Centerville campus. How many of you have ever been to the Great Wall of China? I've been there. It's amazing. It's phenomenal to see this wall that goes forever. How many of you have seen Angkor Wat, which is a temple in Cambodia, which is the largest temple in the planet? It's actually one of the seven wonders of the world. I was just there two summers ago with my family. There are so many creative and unbelievable things. If I were to ask you, like, what would you want to put on your bucket list to go and see? That's fun, isn't it? To think about eternity as a place where you can explore and see all kinds of different things. The Bible talks about New Jerusalem that will have streets, or will walk. And if you're a runner, you can run forever and your body won't hurt. See, we'll have these new bodies and they'll always be healthy. We will never be subject to death or never be subject to suffering in our lives. Revelation chapter 21 and 22, Isaiah 60, Isaiah 65 and 66 tells us that we'll be able to do things that we don't even expect to be able to do now, because we'll have these new bodies in our life. And so it brings a whole new meaning to the way that we can live our lives. And I think we're going to have an opportunity to be able to explore an awful lot of things in life. Number four, heaven is a place of productivity and accomplishments. See, I think a lot of us think of heaven, and part of the reason why we don't like to talk about heaven a lot is because some of us, let's just be honest, some of us think that heaven's going to be, well, boring. That we're just going to sit in a hammock for eternity. That we're just going to sit there and do nothing. I don't know about you, but I can go on vacation for about a week, maybe 2 weeks. But after 2 weeks, I'm going nuts. I want to get back to work. I want to do something productive, right? I don't know about you. Some of us find ourselves in jobs where you get up at 5 a.m. because you're ready to go. I mean, you love your job. You want to be the first one there. They have to kick you out of the building to leave because you love your job and career so much. Others of us, it seems like, man, I don't want to go. Like, do I have to go another day? When can I retire? I mean, you're looking at all these dates. Even at 20, you're like, man, can I retire soon, I got good news for you that when we get to heaven, the Bible's very clear about work. Now, catch this. Work started in the Bible before the curse, meaning that work is not part of the curse. The pain of work is part of the curse, but work is not part of the curse. Did you catch that? Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 says, the Lord took the man, Adam, and put him in the garden and put him to work to take care of all of it. See, when we get to heaven, there's going to be work, but it won't be menial. It won't be tedious. It won't be frustrating, but it will be satisfying and it will be very fulfilling. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, that we're going to judge the angels. Did you just hear that? We're going to judge the angels. We're going to have jobs. We're going to be in positions of governing. We're going to be involved in organization. It's absolutely amazing. Now, many of us have a hard time getting our head around this, and so let me try to give you an illustration that will maybe get your head around. Think of the thing that you love to do the most. Doesn't have to be work. And think of doing it forever. Like, I love to keep my car clean. I mean, it's an odd thing, but I feel at rest when my car is clean. You know, I love to clean my car. I love to wash it. I love to keep the tires clean. I love to keep the inside clean. That's why I don't let my kids drive my car or take any food in my car. I love my car clean, and it's for me, it's like my ordered world. I love it. And so I can just imagine that in heaven, God's going to give me a job that I'm going to be cleaning something. I'm going to be cleaning your cars probably. I don't know. You know, my wife on the other hand, she loves landscaping. I hate landscaping. She loves landscaping. She loves to plant flowers. She loves to put them in pots, and she likes to fertilize them and water them. She's probably going to be a gardener in heaven. I don't know, but and I'm hoping to stay right with her in heaven, you know, right there with all the flowers and all that. And so you think about the things that you love. Do you realize that in heaven there's no sin, therefore we will have no need for police officers? There is no decay, so if you're a dentist, you're going to need to find a new job. There's no death, so if you're a funeral director, sorry, we got to find something else for you. There's no loss in heaven, so if you're a financial, you know, if you're an insurance salesman, then you too have got to find a new career. And in fact, in heaven, there's no salvation. There's no pastors in heaven. I need to find a new job as well. I'm probably going to wash your cars. But there are going to be gardeners and engineers and builders and artists, animal trainers, musicians, scientists, craftsmen. And we're going to work, and it's not going to be hard. There will be no pain. No corruption, no exhaustion. We're just going to love it. We're just going to absolutely love it. That's why in Revelation chapter 22, it says this, no longer will there be any accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. Now, here's the problem. Many people that read Revelation chapter 22, when they read this, they think of heaven as an endless worship service. The word worship here means work. It means to serve. That in eternity, we're going to have an opportunity to do great things. And we're going to be productive. And you're going to have accomplishments that's going to be so great in your life. Well, there's one more. Let me give it to you. And that's this, that heaven is a place of joy and laughter. I don't think I need to tell you this. Life is hard. Am I right, church? And sometimes because life is hard, it just sucks the joy right out. How many of you would agree with me that humor is such a healing medicine in life, right? Humor is so amazing in what it does just to hear somebody laugh. To hear a kid laugh, it's infectious, right? To hear a little kid laugh and you just want to laugh along with them. To hear a good, clean joke and it's just funny and you laugh and laugh and laugh. It's just so amazing. Martin Luther says, if you're not allowed to laugh in heaven, I don't want to go there. I agree with him because as we look through scripture, there's all kinds of things that will help us to understand that heaven is filled with joy and it's filled with all kinds of humor. I think God has a great sense of humor. If you don't agree, simply Google an aardvark. He has to have a sense of humor, right? I mean, look at that thing. It's crazy looking. It's absolutely amazing. And in fact, Jesus says it this way as one of the Beatitudes in Luke chapter 6, he said, blessed are you who weep now, comma, for you shall laugh. One day we're going to be laughing, and there's going to be all kinds of joy in our lives. It's going to be amazing. See, when we talk about heaven, I don't know about you, but my spirits are lifted. We get the opportunity to look beyond the bowl. We get the opportunity to say, you know what, things aren't really good right now, but they will be. Relationships might be a struggle, but they won't be. You see, as we go through life and work and you're tired and your back hurts, and that's not going to happen. It's absolutely amazing. Let me put it this way. You see, let the hope of heaven give us hope on earth. The fact that there is heaven and the fact that it's going to be amazing beyond what you can even imagine, according to scripture, beyond the bowl, let the hope of heaven be pulled down into your daily life right now so that you know there's a whole lot more than just this little bowl. See, when I hold up this bowl of fish, it begins to make sense because they don't know any different. All they know is this little bowl, and they swim round and round. And you and I know that there's a whole lot more than just what's in this little bowl. In fact, if you were to read in Revelation chapter 21, this is what you would read. In heaven, there is no pain. In heaven, there is no arthritis. In heaven, no one will experience fear. In heaven, anxiety won't even be in the dictionary. In heaven, dementia doesn't exist. In heaven, there are no handicap parking spots. In heaven, special needs will be even more special. In heaven, there won't be emotional scars. There won't be PTSD. There's no need for MRIs. Kleenex, throw them away. See, there's none of that. There will be no more sleepless nights. There will be no sirens that are running around the neighborhoods. There won't be any need for glasses in life. Let's look beyond the bowl. I can't wait to see my Grandma Smith. I remember sitting on her lap at about 5 years of age. She died early. I still remember her smell. But I missed a whole lot with my grandma. I can't wait to see Grandma Smith. Grandpa Smith is gone too, and I know they're together, and I'm sure they're having a good time together, but I can't wait to see Grandpa Smith, because every time he would go somewhere, he'd say, Dave, you want to go with me? And I'm going, oh yeah, I want to go with Grandpa. I'm going to miss my brother. I can't wait to see him again, because he died 2 years ago. Tragic death. And you know what? He's going to be fine. I can't wait to see him. I can't wait to be there with him. I can't wait to see Kathy's grandpa. I got to know him. His name is T. Perry Brannan. We named one of our sons Brannan. I can't wait to see him. He was on the radio. He's got that godlike voice. Whenever he spoke to you, it'd be like, God. I can't wait to hear that again. I did a funeral for a couple, and the casket was, oh, I don't know, about that big. Little boy. I never met him. I just did the funeral. His name is Thomas Hilt Allen. I want to meet him someday because I saw the pain in the eyes of that family. And together, as we were standing there around looking into the hole in the ground, I said to them, one day you'll see him again. And I can't wait to meet him. You see, church, when we look beyond the bowl, it's really encouraging. And I hope today that you've been encouraged, because heaven is awaiting us. And it doesn't matter if you're 20 or if you're 90. That's a great thing to remember, that the hope of heaven can be pulled into the hope of earth. Amen.